Hey, it's the Big Boss Man, your old pal GM Jared here, and I live for this.
Howardchuk wins it in. Here's Lemieux poking at the center. Lemieux ahead to Gretzky. Has Murphy with him on a 2-on-1 to Lemieux. And on goal, he shoots, he scores! Barry Lemieux with 1:26 remaining.
The Hockey Show. Thursdays at 5:30, only on 101.5 UMFM. Because we all live for this.
Hey everybody, it's Teebs from The Hockey Show, and we're here with famed radio consultant Ron Swanson, who's been hired by UMFM to improve employee and volunteer morale around the station. What have you implemented so far, Ron?
The Human Resources Department requires that I be available once a month to discuss workplace disputes with my employees. The rules do not specify whether or not I'm allowed to listen to Willie Nelson on my headphones.
You're listening to 101.5 UMFM.
Push and push till it hurts. Push and push till it hurts. Day enough, I got me love, and it's so bad. It's so bad. Day enough, I got me love, and it's so bad. It's so bad. Life's for the living. Check me tomorrow. We'll see if I'm kidding.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to The Hockey Show here on 101.5, Canada's only campus-produced radio show that strictly talks hockey. Going to be a little bit lonely in here in the studio. It beams off tonight with it being part two of the interviews that we did at the Sammy Joe Small Hockey School from last week. We'll get caught up tonight with another young lady by the name of Paige MacArthur, Alex MacArthur's sister. We talked to her last week. Check out the show log, certainly, on UMFM.com and at Hockey Blog in Canada if you want to hear that interview. And we'll get caught up with the lady of the hour, Sammy Joe Small, as well, as we talk to her. I'll little bit more information about what's going on with the interview there as we get closer to it. But let's not waste any time. We fit out Matthew Good here. Matthew Good Band, a good tune there with Hello Time Bomb. As we get into this, and we want to talk a little bit about Paige MacArthur's career. Paige is a fantastic young lady who's going to be going off to play some NCAA hockey next year. So let's get into the interview right now with Paige MacArthur that we did last week at the Sammy Joe Small Hockey School. Here is Paige MacArthur. We are here with Paige MacArthur. Paige, one of the instructors here at the Sammy Joe Small Hockey School this year in 2019. Paige, how are you? How are things going?
I'm good, doing well. Yeah.
Good, good.
Yeah.
Glad to hear that's going well for you. We're going to go through a few things in your career, sort of talk a little bit about you here, get everything sort of organized before we talk about next year, which will be big for you. So, again, I asked your sister, I asked Alex this, what is it about, is there something in the water out in that Central Plains area? Because you guys seem to produce a ton of hockey players every year, a ton of female hockey players specifically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. It's mostly just the coaches, really, that help bring us up and become really good hockey players, mostly.
You guys are, I mean, again, sort of from that whole McDonald's sort of, I mean, we have the Oswalds from McGregor, we have Chloe Snaith from McGregor. Like, that whole sort of Central Plains area, the Pembina Valley area, like, it's, there's a huge rivalry down there. Like, do you guys enjoy the, you know, when you get to suit up and go beat up on the kids from Pembina Valley, or?
Yeah, that's actually the best part. So you just beat them off on the ice. Like, best part ever.
Up and down the ice, that's all right then. Hardest part for you, and obviously your forward's a little bit different than Alex, but hardest part for you when you had to move out to Kelowna to play at Pursuit of Excellence?
Hardest part was leaving my family.
Yeah?
Yeah. It was nice to have my mom out there, but leaving my dad, like, that was hard.
That just doesn't...
Yeah, because he was like a coach for me growing up.
There you go.
It was like really hard not to have him around that much.
Yeah. 8 games in your first sort of season out there, goal and assist. What was it like to score the first goal in Canadian Sports School Hockey League for you?
Felt great. It was a nice one, too.
Yeah? Walk us through the highlights.
All right. let's see. So I got the puck down low below the goal line, and I had a checker on me, and so I toeyed it right under the stick of her and
nice.
Totally... protected the puck from another player and ripped her backhand top shelf.
So in terms of historical accuracy, who's the first team you victimized there?
Okanagan Hockey Academy.
Oh, there you go. Right on. So a little bit of rivalry there with Okanagan. There, yeah, that's all right then. Had a great career, though. I mean, next two seasons, 19 games, 20 games. You scored 11 goals total, 10 goals in the next two seasons. What was your time like out there? Like, what do you remember most about playing for? Like, what's the one thing that stands out about Pursuit of Excellence Hockey for you?
The amount of ice time we get in the training and all that. It's just, it can't compare to anywhere else.
Yeah.
Like, we're on the ice 2 hours a day, working out an hour, and then doing skills for another hour. So you just get so much training.
Yeah. Is it different for you? And obviously you came back, you played Central Plains Capitals in 2018, 2019 as well. Is it different? And I asked Alex the same thing. She said that she did notice a difference. Do you notice a difference between the level of competition or the level of intensity between the... Yeah?
Yeah, it's big difference.
Yeah?
Yeah. The girls in the prep division are a lot bigger, more experienced with the higher compete level compared to the girls in the AAA level. Not trying to throw them under the bus.
No. I mean, but that's the thing, though, is we're always looking for a difference in certainly some of the stuff. I mean, you played 25 games last year with Central Plains, 9 goals, 12 assists. Great season in terms of getting everything going. Again, you get to come home and play in front of friends and family. Is it more fun? Not more fun, I guess, is the wrong word. Is it different in terms of having friends and family there? Like, do you find it's a better support system just being at home and not having to worry about school and everything? So, you got hugs?
Yeah, I get hugs all the time.
Here come the hugs. So.
All my girls.
I'm kind of legit. Yeah, go right ahead.
Oh, my bronze girls. It's a big difference with having family, because whenever we come home for the Winnipeg showcases, we'd have a whole entire section that was just MacArthur's.
That's all right, then.
It's like posters and everything. It's like, oh, great.
So you guys were there then last year, Female World Sports School Challenge. Did you play in that? I was going to say, I remember seeing Alex out there. Not that I don't remember seeing you as well, Paige. But, again, not, you know, there's so many teams, so many people going on out there. Exactly. It's so crazy. Obviously, a lot of good teams that come out there, a lot of teams from all over the place coming out there. What do you think of that tournament in terms of how you played? Or not just in terms of how you played there, but in terms of how your team did, and certainly getting the experience of playing a bunch of teams you may never see.
Is this like Pursuit or
either or, because I know Pursuit was there a couple years as well. So I mean, there's all sorts of big teams that show up there. So
With the Pursuit teams, we did really well.
We got
silver the two times we were there, because we didn't go there our last year,
which unfortunately
sucked.
Yes.
Really wanted to go there again. Love that showcase. And then with Central Plains, we did really well, actually. We played BH, and we did really well. I was super proud of us for how well we stayed together and fought against the Blazers.
So, I mean, you guys don't get to see a lot of the JWHL team.
No.
So is it a different style of game compared to what you were playing in the CSSHL, or is it?
It's close. It's pretty similar.
Yeah.
It's just they're going down to the States.
Well, yeah. They're
playing against all those teams. So we're just like Canadian teams. And then ever so often we'd be like, oh, we're going to go to Boston or Detroit. We're just going to go there for fun.
That's all right then. Obviously, again, recruited by a number of teams. A bunch of people came calling. And you've chosen College of the Holy Cross, which is... I don't know. Again, I don't know who is coming. I don't know who's talking to you. I don't know how many people came to talk to you. But what's made you settle on that college in terms of going down to the States and playing NCAA hockey?
Well, it is NCAA, and they're going into their second year of Division I.
Correct.
So it's like, that's nice. I'll be helping build that team,
which
is going to be fun.
Okay.
And it's a smaller campus, which is what I really, really love.
Yeah.
I love getting to know, like, all my teachers and... I'm a country girl, so it's like, I don't like the big cities.
See, and Alex said the same thing. She's like, I'm going to Dalhousie because, like, it's a smaller, I mean, you don't have to name other names. You don't have to bring anybody else up. You don't have to name schools. But how many, if there were others, and I'm sure there were, how many others came and talked to you? Do you recall if there were bigger schools? Like, we're talking the big, big ones that people go, I know that school.
There are a couple.
Yeah?
Yeah, but this is, like, only in grade 9 and 10.
Okay.
So when I still had a ton of options.
Options, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what's it like? And I asked Alex the same thing, and she was like, oh, no, we did it before. It's fine. What's it like not having your sister beside you in the lineup for next season? Got a whole crowd over
know,
here now.
I do, yeah. It'll be different.
Yeah?
It will definitely be different, and I get another hug.
There you go. Hugs from everybody.
Yes, I am getting interviewed.
Yes, eventually.
So it will be different, yeah.
I mean, again, this is kind of a dumb question. Obviously, yeah. You're going to miss her a little bit. But, I mean, are you guys? I asked her about the sibling rivalry. Are you guys going to sort of compare notes about where you're playing and who you're playing with?
Probably not, because we play different positions.
Sure, but, I mean, you know,
there might be a little bit of competition, but I don't really know.
Look how well our team did versus that kind of stuff. That's
all
right.
Team. We're doing pretty well.
I'm gonna out her right now and say that she said that you don't like playing against her.
I hate being one-on-one against her.
Yeah, she knows
so
all
hard.
Your moves. So
yep. I try and go one way. She's like, I know that move. I did another one. No, I know that move too.
So are you worried about you know, other people knowing that if they had to, they know where to find the scouting report on you?
I'll just tell her to shh, quiet.
There you go. That's awesome.
Don't say nothing.
Obviously, a big move. For people that don't know, where is College of the Holy Cross?
It is in Worcester, Massachusetts, which is an hour outside of Boston.
Right. Obviously, they had a CWHL team last year. There was no professional option coming up.
Yeah.
I asked Alex the same thing. She gave a good answer in terms of where she wanted to be. When you graduate, what's following? What do you want to take at first at college and then possibly go into when you're graduating?
So my college has a create your own major program.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to create my own major that kind of mimics a pre-veterinary.
Oh, right on.
And then I'll probably come back up to Canada or see where it takes me and try and get my veterinary medicine.
So you want to be a vet? That is, that's outstanding, actually, considering that, I mean, again, it's a long time in school, because then you have to go to a veterinary school and do all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Are you looking to be, like farm vet? Are you looking to be, like, just small animal, like, regular pet vet?
Mixture.
Oh, look at you. Yeah. So you can go work back out in McDonald's, help the farmers, help the people in town. That's awesome.
Yeah, I think I mostly want to focus on, like, small animals.
Sure,
and then do the occasional big animals, and then I want to get into, like, equestrian.
Oh, nice. That'll be cool.
Oh, yeah.
I gotta say, that's super, like, one of the coolest answers I've heard in a long time. So the only question that may throw a little monkey wrench into that: if there is pro hockey and they come calling, would you play?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so vet can hold on until you're done hockey?
Yeah.
Okay, that's fair.
Just do, like, courses online. It's all good.
I don't know. I was going to say, I don't know how you can do the labs online.
Probably
but
not labs, but like English or the math or something.
Yeah,
I can do that
fine.
Online.
Anybody you look up to? Who's your sort of hockey idol that you model your game after?
Model my game after.
You don't have to model it after them, but, you know, if I play, I want to play. Oh, there's too many.
Like, there's Haley Wickenheiser.
Sure.
Brandon Tanev, Nikolai Ehlers.
Brandon Tanev, really?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. He's very, like, fast and does not let anyone. And he's short.
Well, yeah, that's true. He's not, yeah.
Short, I mean, people you guys stick together.
Yeah, you and Alex got the short side of the stick there.
Yeah.
But, okay, so, I mean, serious question here about sort of next season and everything. I mean, obviously, College of Holy Cross doing their best to get into D1, play hard. Mm-hmm. Are there any places, any schools? I don't know what the schedule is like yet. I haven't taken a look yet. I'm sure you've maybe glanced at the schedule for next season. Are there teams that you're looking forward to playing?
All of them.
Well, yeah, but are
I'm
there
looking
like
forward to playing them all?
But like, are there any big name that you go that's circle that on the calendar? That's
Colgate.
The one. Yeah,
Colgate is one because there's a player on that team who was my captain and I really looked up to her.
Yeah.
She was an awesome player.
Yeah,
like amazing player. And I'm just really excited to play against her.
Oh, that's going to be good. I mean, are you is she defense forward? Is she
forward?
Oh, so it'll be you can line up right beside her and just give her a little talking to.
Hey, remember me? You were my captain from Pursuit. Remember me?
Oh, that'll be good.
How's it going?
I like that. I'm going to ask you because we got one coming into Manitoba. Do you want to give a scouting report on Miss Hallie Edwards?
Hallie Edwards, great player.
Yeah.
Yeah, great player. She can shoot the puck. She can pass the puck. Yeah. She's great.
Okay.
She's a great teammate, too. Yeah. She's awesome.
She's coming in next year. We're looking forward to talking to her a little bit on the rookie show. Last question before you get out. We'll get you in to get lunch and get back on the session of the afternoon session. Again, ask your sister. I gave you the preview of this question. If there's one thing that you want to take with you next year that you can't, that you're going to miss the most coming from home, what would it be?
My family and my dogs.
Your dogs, nice. Okay, that's awesome. The dogs didn't get in for Alex, but your parents did, so that's
that
okay.
Part.
That's all right. There you go. Want to wish you all the best next year, Paige. Obviously, right. go down there, go kick some butt down in Worcester, and certainly go and have some fun and explore the town. The town apparently is great, from what I've heard. Go have a great time. And if you ever want to come back, door's always open. If there's anything you want to promote, I'll give you the soapbox. If anything you want to say before we go, by all means, you can say whatever you like here. Shout-outs or anything like that.
My Bros Group wants to have a shout-out, apparently.
Okay.
So Bros Group at the Sammy Joe Small Hockey Camp.
There you go.
A shout-out.
Everybody gets a mention, and that's awesome.
Shout-out there.
Good for you guys for being here. Congratulations, ladies. And learning from one of the best hockey players we got going to college next year. There you go. There you go. Got good, best hockey players coming up as well. But again, Paige, if you ever want to come back, by all means, when you're done your first year, if you want to come back on the show, by all means, reach out. We'll gladly have you back for sure.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks to Paige MacArthur. We'll talk to her. Hopefully, goes down there and kicks some butt with the College Holy Cross next year in the NCAA, and we will see her in the future.
Yeah.
Where are you boys headed?
Canada. We're going over the border to Canada for some French fries and gravy, sir.
Poutine.
Canada. Almost made it.
You're listening to The Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM.
You smell something, Rabbit?
Fear.
Hey, want to join the team? Hockey Helps the Homeless comes to Winnipeg on December 5th and 6th. Join the Babich brothers, Lori Boschman, Trevor Kidd, and many more stars as they hit the ice at Seven Oaks Arena to raise funds and support for Winnipeg's most vulnerable residents. Become a tournament sponsor, support players or teams, or volunteer your time. Go to hhth.com for complete details. Hockey Helps the Homeless is proudly presented by Canada Life and is a registered Canadian charity. Welcome back to The Hockey Show. As you heard there, Hockey Helps the Homeless coming up in December. But prior to that, Paige MacArthur, who's heading off to the College of the Holy Cross down in Worcester, Massachusetts next year, playing a little NCAA D1 hockey. Always happy to have some good Manitoba players come on and certainly talk a little hockey. It was great talking to her. And yeah, I mean, like I said during the interview there, wish her all the best next year because she is going to go down there and dominate, in my opinion anyway. Let's get on the lady of the hour then, as everybody's been waiting for this one, Sammy Joe Small, who talks to us usually once a year at her school and certainly talks about everything that's going on. As you may be well aware, CWHL closed down this past summer on May 31st, I guess was the last day it existed. She was a big part of that. She founded the CWHL. She was involved in the CWHL as a player, as a general manager in the last year with the Toronto Furies. We talk about everything that's going on. Now, I do want to bring this up because this is going to be important. Sammy Joe's interview has actually been edited. It's for time constraints. We only get an hour here on this show. If we could do more, we would do more. But we can't cut into Free Range Radio with Skippy because he does a great show too. So we've edited this down a little bit. It's going to be about a 43-minute interview. The full 70-minute, I think she does like 65 or 66 minutes with me, will be available on Hockey Blog in Canada after the show airs. I will put the full interview up. You can listen to everything we talk about. There's some other stuff that was cut out, as I said, in terms of some not super important stuff, but we will get that up on the site after the show. So here is Sammy Joe Small in at least an edited form from her hockey school 1 week ago. We sat down, we talked about everything. So stay tuned, folks. I'll be back after this, and we'll wrap things up on the show here on the Hockey Show for another week. But here is guest of the hour, Sammy Joe Small, on the Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM.
have the pleasure of sitting down with one of the women we enjoy, one of the people we enjoy talking to most on this show every single year. We're lucky we get to talk to her every year. Cannot say thank you enough for doing this. Sammy Jo Small, thank you for sitting down with us once more and talking some hockey.
Well, thank you for coming out to camp once again. Your lips are blue. You've been sitting in the rink all day.
It is like minus 30 in here. I was laughing earlier this morning.
And you're in a
t-shirt. When you were saying how cold it was. I was like, I'll be fine. Don't worry. No, I am not fine. It's not good.
Very cold. Luckily, the soccer pitch is pretty warm.
Yes.
So I saw you head in there a couple times.
I've had to escape and find a little warmth somewhere.
Feel free to drink from your tea at any point.
I will probably be diving in.
Hot tea so that I can stay warm as well.
Good. All right. First off, let's get the update on probably the most important person in your life. How is Kenzie? How is your daughter? She's getting, I understand, a lot bigger than where she was one year ago. Anyway,
thank you for asking. Yep. She's 3.5 now.
Yes, yeah.
Billy and I are having a great time with her. She's with Grandma and Grandpa right now.
Okay.
But running around, doing a million things. We have her registered in soccer and gymnastics.
Oh.
And she loves to dance.
Okay.
We don't have her in dance yet. We've taken some classes and stuff, but she just adores it. So it's hard for Billy and I because we don't know much about that world. But my parents didn't know much about hockey, and they got us involved in what we loved. So.
Sure.
We will likely put her in whatever she wants to be in. People always ask me if she's skating and stuff, but she's, not much interest right now. And she's around the rink a lot, and she loves running the stairs at the rink and playing and doing twirls and all that stuff that 3.5-year-olds do.
Good. I'm glad she's doing a lot of fun. Yeah. How is life in Toronto now that you're sort of you got a lot of extra time to kick back and relax with now?
So we can talk all about that. But
we'll dig into a little bit deeper into that. But generally, how is life for you right now?
So to be honest, I mean, we could talk about everything else.
Yeah.
It was hard and it was sad and it was difficult to move on. But having moved on now has actually been a real pleasure. It's really been nice to really focus on my family, spending time with Billy, hanging out with my daughter, being able to visit with friends, like things that, I mean, my speaking job is my real job. I do that probably 40 hours a week. You're then putting on GM hat for another 60 hours a week. You're trying to burn the candle at both ends. You're up until midnight. You're up in the morning the next morning with your daughter at 7 a.m. So it certainly was not easy. I loved it, and it was pleasurable, but it is very different now, and I feel like it's just a much slower pace of life, and I can sit back and really enjoy and come to Winnipeg and be present, be present in life. And I think that that's the one thing that I kind of lost a little bit of, was that as a general manager, you're taking care of others so much. You're putting everybody else in front of you, and you do that as a mother anyways. So my entire life was not about me. And finally, for the last month, it has been, which despite everything, I guess that's a silver lining to everything
that has sort of been,
it's been nice. I mean, Billy and I can just sit by our pool and hang out, and I'm not thinking about recruiting. I'm not thinking about the next thing, or the next person, or the person I have to hire or fire or whatever. This is just been nice. Yeah.
I mean, most people will focus on the dark cloud, but isn't it nice to have that silver lining for you?
Because
we'll say 20 years of your life, it has been nothing but go, 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 and certainly hockey, hockey, hockey.
Well, it'll certainly be different come September when my life is not ruled by the September to April travel schedule too.
Yep.
So, talking to some of my friends about, for instance, Susie Ewan is being inducted into the Manitoba Hockey Hall of Fame.
Yes, congratulations to her as well.
Yeah, which is amazing and should have been done 15 years ago, to be honest, as she should not be the second woman inducted into our Hall of Fame.
Correct.
That is not a good representation for Manitoba hockey. So they need to get on that. But that aside, I can now come back and support one of my friends in what is an amazing achievement and life achievement. So I wouldn't have been able to do that in other situations. And it's finally time that I can do those kind of things for the people that I really care about.
I mean, you're kind of in a good spot, I guess. I mean, terrible spot in that there's no hockey, but good spot in that 3.5 years for your daughter as well is a pretty developmental, pretty
for
important
sure.
time.
Yeah.
I mean, it gives you a lot more time to spend with Kenzie as well.
Exactly. And I can be there for her things. She starts in Ontario. We have JK.
Yes,
it's a full day of JK. So she starts on a school bus next year. We enrolled her in Français because I am fluent. And it will be different. I mean, yeah. She has to take a 15-minute bus to go to school at 3.5, which is a little bit crazy, but I can be there for all of that. So sure. And continue to support my husband as he travels the world and play sledge hockey. And we don't have to get grandma and grandpa all the time to fly in and do all that kind of stuff. And unfortunately, as this was all happening as well, my husband lost his mother, and that was really difficult on us because of not only losing the dream of the CWHL, but losing somebody very close to yeah. us, and also seeing my husband have to drive out every single day to Guelph. And so we were just so busy, both of us. And with all of that sort of now in the rearview mirror, it's nice to, yeah, just enjoy each other and enjoy life and enjoy the things that we have worked so hard for, too.
Well, I mean, not that you weren't before, but certainly a little more family time for family.
For sure. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's always nice. So.
And you're not just traveling because the schedule or speaking or whatever. It's like you get to travel because you want to.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I still have a real job. I still work as a speaker.
Yeah,
and so still have one full-time job and a full-time mother. So that's the great thing about what Billy and I have created is we can be full-time parents as well as we still pursue our goals. And, we've had an incredibly successful life, and we're now able to sort of reap the rewards for that.
Sure.
I appreciate that you started with some positive stuff because that's really great. And you're right. Sometimes you just have to stop and reflect on how fortunate we are.
End of the day, it's still a job, but family will always be there. And I think that's a good way to start. So, I'm happy to bring up Kenzie because she is, the twinkle in your eye.
All right.
Certainly.
Okay, so now we can get to real stuff.
Okay, so, let's put the dark cloud aside for now.
Okay.
Started the season really well last year. You guys recruited a bunch of great players. You guys got everything going. It looked really promising. And it kind of didn't get off on the sort of the best start. You guys came out of the gates and certainly had a very competitive team, but seemed to be on the wrong side of the scoreboard for most of the night. Not that we're holding that against you, because you guys battled all the way through and certainly were in the mix the entire season, but we're constantly sort of in that, on that bubble of being a playoff team. I want to get, just your thoughts on how the season went for you guys last year.
For sure. So I think what I tried to do when I came in was to really develop a program.
Right.
And so what that meant was we were going to get an extra ice time in the week. So we started training on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday nights, which precluded some of the girls that had played before from continuing because it really was a professional environment. And they were training off ice prior to that as well. So that meant that we had a lot of spots open, and it meant that we ended up taking a lot of rookies on the team that were fully committed. And that's, a big jump for a lot of people.
Yep.
And we ended up with 16 rookies on a 25-man roster. So that was a lot to deal with. But what I also tried to do on top of that was not only prepare them for the season, but get a staff that was really competent and could work on development and wasn't just focused on the on-ice hockey product, but focused on these women as women and developing their life goals as well and ensuring that not only were they physically prepared, but mentally prepared as well. So because of that, I think that's why we started out of the gate slowly, and that's okay. I mean, our plan was to be Clarkson Cup champions in 5 years.
Right.
And to be consistently at that level after that.
Yeah.
So I think what we started to was doing that. Courtney Burchard ended up being an amazing coach. I mean, I knew she'd be good, but she ended up being so competent. One of the best coaches that I've ever seen. That's one of the tough things about all this is that she will, she accepted a coaching job at Princeton, will be in the NCAA, and these professional women will never get to see her coach again except for with the national team someday. So it's too bad that somebody like her will not be included in this next iteration.
I was going to say, though, I mean, take nothing away from Courtney Kessel in terms of coaching at Princeton. I mean,
that's
a huge opportunity.
I forget that.
Okay. A huge opportunity for her, and I'm happy that she found it.
Sure.
But she's also molding the next generation as well. She worked with the under-18s, under-22s at the Hockey Canada camp this year. Mm-hmm. So you may, depending on what happens down the road, you may get a ton of Courtney Kessel inspired young ladies coming to play for you, which I think is better than nothing at all.
The beauty of the position of where she was she was in a perfect recruiting position to allow Toronto to get all of those people.
Right.
And we had some incredibly talented rookies prepared to sign with us. It was I mean, several blows, but that was one of the toughest things, was she had just created such an amazing environment. I think that my entire staff, I had a staff of 25 people. Yeah. So the staff, as well as the players, had created this environment that now people wanted to play for. And that's what we wanted to get after the first season, was that we wanted to establish Toronto as the ultimate hockey playing experience, yeah, both on and off the ice. And I think that that's what we started to create, that people wanted to be at our rink. They wanted to know that the training facility was right there. They wanted everything in a professional environment. And so what she could have done this summer could have been amazing. And even some of the national team girls that yeah. had indicated that they were moving to Toronto would have made our team incredibly strong. And so that's unfortunate, but just knowing yeah. that we created that in 1 year, I think for me is a success. I've never had a season where the entire staff worked so diligently to provide for the team. And it was a team of rookies. So when they first came in, when we had our sort of get to know you weekend, I mean, nobody really had an idea of what was, and our veterans were people like Spooner and Fast, who were not there the year before, and right. Suzuki, who was not there the year before. Yeah. So it just because they're veterans didn't even mean that they had been around.
Yeah.
So we went through a lot. I think it was, you know, learning to battle in those one goal games, and we were always close. The games that actually we got blown out were usually the games that we had won the night before.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
on a second night. But we were working on that, and slowly it started to build. And yeah. then we obviously got on that run at the end of the season and then almost took it to Calgary, which
yeah.
who would have thought that at the beginning of the year? So with what were perceived as a lot of unknown names, these girls worked incredibly hard all season. I think each one of them developed as a hockey player,
yeah.
which can't always be said for players in the CWHL coming out of NCAA, where you play every single day. You come to the CWHL, suddenly work takes over, things take over. You aren't the same caliber for the next 10 years. But I think what we had created was an environment where they could continue to improve and continue to learn. We had Adrian LaMonaco running the off-ice skill development program, which meant that they were on the ice with national team coaches as well.
Yeah.
We had Jacqueline Gradish, who was doing the off-ice strength and conditioning, who was with them every single day doing their programs. She had worked for the Toronto Maple Leafs for 5 years,
yeah.
and so we were lucky to get her. So we just had some incredible people to surround these athletes with so that they could really just play hockey.
So you guys, I mean, you mentioned, you know, having the Maple Leafs in terms of you know, being in town and certainly, you know, getting some staff. What was the synergy like? What was the relationship like with Kyle Dubas and with the Maple Leafs in terms of how things were progressing? Because it seemed like for Calgary, for yourself, for Montreal, there was some pretty good, you know, back and forth between the NHL clubs and the CWHL clubs. You have a big smile on your face right now, which means I'm probably way off on this, so I will let you take the helm on this.
So Kyle is amazing. I had a couple meetings with him, super supportive, knew a lot about women's hockey, and had three of his staff members that had girls that were playing at either NCAA or the PWHL level.
Okay.
So he knew a lot about the game. He knew a lot about my draft picks. He knew that we existed, that we were there, and was there to support in any sort of any time I reached out.
Yeah.
So in terms of people within their organization, great, amazing. In terms of synergies, there was we ran into a lot of difficulty because the Leafs were actually a CWHL sponsor, not a Toronto Fury sponsor. And so we ran into issues because they helped with the Clarkson Cup, they helped with the All-Star Game, and they helped promote the CWHL as a brand,
right?
Not our brand. And so there was some things that I think that we would have preferred went in a different direction.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, there's a launch pad. I don't know if you know the launch pad program in Toronto, where it is in Regent Park. It serves underserved communities within Toronto,
okay.
and it is a gym, place for kids to be inspired. It's just an amazing environment. When the Leafs are brought out and when our players are brought out, there's a different pay structure there in which the Leafs get paid and our players don't. So we are volunteering our time constantly.
Yes.
And we're not perceived at the same level within the entire organization. And so while the people were amazing, so somebody like Garrett Sparks, who just got traded.
Unfortunately, yeah.
So he was, they were doing the Easter Seals skate right before our game one day.
Okay.
And all the guys were on the ice, and some of the guys know some of our players. So, you know, chatting, some of like John Tavares played with Matt Molson, who Shannon Molson plays for our team.
Right, yeah.
So they're having a conversation. And, of course, they're all super supportive of women's hockey, willing to wear a Toronto Fury's hat. You might have seen some of those pictures, taking some cameos, which was amazing.
The Matthew Spooner opportunity that was there. Yes, we've seen that.
And
yeah,
so
yeah.
then Garrett Sparks decided that he just wanted to stay for the whole game because he loved women's hockey and sat with our girls that weren't playing and proceeded to have ideas about how to improve the game and to improve the team and to improve the organization. Amazing. So.
Yeah.
As people, I never encountered anybody that was ever negative. As an organization, I think that they struggled with their relationship to the CWHL versus to the Furies.
I'm not gonna throw the monkey wrench into the gears here, but from my perspective, from again, I'm seeing it from 1,000 kilometers away as
right.
well, so
yeah.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like there were a lot of organizations that struggled with the CWHL's identity, as you were just saying, in that it's almost like there was a completely different sort of branding, completely different sort of strategy used by the league compared to what the teams were doing. Would that be fair to say?
I think that has changed over the years.
Yeah.
Yes. I would say that the year that I worked as a GM, that would have been different
okay.
than when we first started. When we first started, I felt like it was more of a symbiotic relationship.
Right.
And by the time I became a GM, I felt like it was more of an autonomous situation. And so I can't really speak
right.
for them.
Yeah, that's fair.
However, I would have said in 2007 when we started, I wouldn't have ever used the word them. So that's sort of the difference, I think, is over the years and maybe over the last couple of years, we'll say, that changed. And for good or bad, I mean, it allowed each team to have more of an autonomous structure. And I had not been the GM prior to this year, so I don't really know how the other years were. But we certainly were given not as much guidance and structure as what we would have done in the beginning.
Okay.
And I don't know why. I don't know.
No, and I'm
how
not.
Happened,
yeah, I'm not looking for finger pointing and blaming of anybody
right.
or anything. It just seemed like they had a completely different view on how to market themselves as opposed to marketing the individual teams, and that's
mm-hmm.
the way I
yes.
saw it. So
yeah. mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's
yeah.
true. I don't know if you're going to agree. You don't have to agree with it if you don't want. But it just seemed like, and it was an odd relationship that they wouldn't push the teams over the actual here's the circular logo, use it wherever you want.
I think we struggled with that because they were in Toronto and we were in Toronto,
right?
And so we would have to go up against an all-star game, which shouldn't have to happen. And that's not to say anybody about anybody in the office, because I think each one of those people in the office were doing their best. And in fact, my direct boss was Rebecca Davies. Rebecca Michael, married now,
okay.
who was our GM, and I had played with for 5 or 6 years with the Furies. So she was, I mean, all of the people within the office were incredibly diligent about doing their job and, in my opinion, overtaxed, doing multiple jobs with multiple hats, trying to figure things out as there was a structural change at the hierarchical level that they were having to be pulled in multiple different directions.
Yeah.
So I think that they were doing an incredible job within their structure that they were given. And I think the structure they were given was just very different than the structure that we had originally envisioned back in the day. But that's not to say they weren't running around doing a million things and trying their best and I just think that they were not guided in the same way that would have happened before, I guess.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm running around things because I...
No.
I mean, all those people are my friends.
I was going to say...
I want to say that they were doing
gonna say,
a great
I'm
job.
Not asking, yeah. like I said, I'm not asking to drag anybody through the mud. I think that's the opposite of where we should be at this point. So, yeah, no, I'm fine
there,
with the way with your answer.
Eventually will be people that happens to.
Yes, yeah.
And, I hope at some point... some people within the media do their due diligence to figure out what happened.
Yes.
But it's not my place to make judgment or to say or to have an opinion, I guess, at this point. And that's the hardest thing is that I feel like I still don't have an opinion because there's still a lot of hurt and anger that is masked by, you know, what is maybe real and what is perceived, too.
I mean, I'll be honest, you got friendships to curate and to worry about as well. So there's no mud playing here yet. We'll stay out of that for now. Mm-hmm. I want to bring up one person's well-being because I thought she had an outstanding season only because of what happened and what she went through and what she did and the recognition that she got. Jessica Platt is a very special person, an incredible person. Met her when I was down there and when I saw you guys when I was down in Toronto. Incredible person. Really went through a lot, really battled through a lot, and seems to be, I don't know her. I don't know her in terms of any sort of personal stuff, but really seems to be, you know, sort of a leader now in terms of the community, both, you know, for the trans community and for the hockey community. You want to talk a little bit about Jessica?
Yeah, she was incredible, and she's one that I fought for this year to remain within the organization because I wanted to showcase Toronto as an inclusive environment, and I wanted to for Toronto as a team to reflect our community as well, and it was important for me to have her there.
Yeah.
She was somebody that didn't get to play in many games, and that, you know, come injuries, then she was playing all the time. So back to the Janelle Kohanchuk, the reason that we reached out to Janelle so many times was we had a 25-man roster, and we ended up playing games with 14 people because we had that many injuries.
Yeah.
And we had concussions, and we had broken bones, and we didn't have any overuse injuries, which I commend our strength and conditioning coach because she is all about injury prevention.
Yeah.
But you can't prevent concussion, and you can't prevent a broken bone. I mean, that's, you know, two hits from behind, and that's what happens.
Yes.
So, but we ended up with just a lot of just unlucky things. And so that's why we had to reach out to people like Janelle.
Yeah,
and that's
fine,
why,
yeah,
in the end, Jessica ended up getting a lot of playing time in the last, you know, that final run that we did. And, it's... it was really great to see her mature as a person. Having been 1 year removed, we sat beside each other in the dressing room the previous year. And when she presented to our team and came out to our team, it was she was pretty shy and she was pretty reserved.
Yeah.
And she was incredibly professional in that environment and really walked us through the steps, had a Q&A for each one of us that she had printed out. With a ton of questions and answers that, you know, you kind of secretly have in your head, having got to know somebody on a very intimate level, and you know, walked us through some of the verbiage to use and things that I would have never been privy to. And so I'm so incredibly grateful to her for educating me and educating our team and educating the environment. She's somebody that I hope continues on in the game in some capacity or somehow. But the tough thing is that, you know, in women's hockey, professional women's hockey in North America probably consists of about 300 people that play at that level. Whatever iteration of league that they create in the future seems like it will be probably a five-team elite league with, you know, 25 people per team.
Yeah.
So that's 125 people. That means that there'll be a lot of people left without a place to play.
Right.
And I hope that those people that are left without a place to play continue to give back. It will be, you know, hard. Tryouts will be hard fierce.
Yeah.
And there'll be a lot of hurt at that point as well because they're not part of what they signed up for.
Right, yeah.
But I hope that they see that they were part of something and that they changed the world in a small way. And Jessica is one of those people that she changed our world in a huge way and normalized something that was different for us and allowed all of us to see her as a person and to walk the streets of Toronto, understanding that everybody within Toronto is different and we all have different stories and we all have different backgrounds. And, you know, it is something that I'm incredibly grateful to have had her in our lives and to be able to call her a friend as well. And she'll go on to do great things, and I hope it's within the game of hockey and that she gives back to our game as well.
I mean, I don't, regardless of hockey, I mean, she just has great things in the world now.
Oh,
I mean,
sure.
she's already made the world a better place. So.
And she has used the platform in an incredibly positive way.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I mean, I was blown away by her when I met her. And I mean, again, didn't even think twice in terms of,
and
you
she
know.
She commutes from Kitchener, which is
really?
An amazing,
wow.
I mean, an hour and a half
yeah.
to every single practice, every single game. She never misses.
That's fantastic.
She is there for everything. So.
Yeah. No, I mean, like I said, the world's a better place with Jessica in it. So
yeah.
happy to have met her and certainly got some information and certainly got to know her a little bit. And I mean, again, would like to get to know her a little bit more, hear a little bit more about her story. But I mean, she had stuff to do. She was trying to get out of there as well. So
yeah,
I was
yeah.
like, ah, don't
yeah,
stay
yeah.
and talk to me. That's fine.
Yeah.
Looking at sort of bigger picture now, where do you see yourself in the future now? Are you going to get back? If there's a chance management opens up or something, do you want to get back into it? Or
so I've been asked a lot about that. I don't know. I mean, it is something that is, we don't know what the future holds. So you don't even know what possibilities there are.
No, but I mean, we can speculate it as to fantasy.
Yeah,
and
so in
and
my,
to...
in my, I don't know, I fantastical. When I think about the world of what the future of our game would hold if the girl, and I don't know what the girls want, but I, let's pretend they want to get under the NHL umbrella.
Sure.
So
yep.
let's pretend the NHL takes over.
Yep.
Let's pretend the Leafs have a team in Toronto.
Yep.
Well, they use their own people. And
yeah.
so that's not me.
No.
And so that's okay. That's a full-time job. And that means that my real job as a professional speaker, I wouldn't be able to give 100% to. And
right.
so do I love being a GM more than I love being a speaker? No. I mean, I really feel like I found just the perfect job for me that I really love and allows me to have the monetary income to be able to do whatever I want with it, to
yeah.
be able to give back, to be able to volunteer my time, and to be able to, I mean, I basically spent my whole salary on the Furies this year with, so there was no salary with the Toronto Furies, and I'm okay with that, you know,
yeah.
volunteering my time, that's how I wanted to spend my time. And so I feel like I found the perfect job to be able to do things with my time that I really enjoy
okay.
and surround myself with really great people. Now, would I want to be under the environment where you know, your day-to-day is a 9-to-5? I look at somebody like Jason Bottrell, and I really respect and admire him.
Yeah.
And obviously, as Jennifer, one of my best friends, her brother,
yeah.
Get to really see him go through the rigmarole of being a GM in the NHL is not easy.
No.
I mean, he is, you know, away constantly as
yeah.
a young family, and it's difficult. And
well, and even when he is home, it's a 24/7 job
totally.
For him as well.
Yeah,
so,
and
yeah.
It's a job that never ends.
Right.
There is no 9-to-5. You're just
yeah.
you're constantly gone. So, okay. So if I'm speculating what would happen in the end, I would say there is no place for me in that environment.
Okay, but that's not. Would you want to be involved in some way, though? That, I think that's more the question.
So I guess then you just take a step back and think, how can I contribute?
Right.
And I think that, you know, my whole life I've tried to, how can I be of service to others? And what is the best way to be of service to others? And I think that if we all kind of look at life that way, we would live in a much better world.
Sure, yeah.
So what would be the best use of my talents in that environment and given the time that I would be able to give? I think, you know, running something like an alumni program would be fun. I'd get to see all my friends. I'd
yeah.
get to bring them to games and
yeah.
encourage people to support women's professional hockey. You know, something like that might be amazing and great. Things like that that I think that I could enjoy and still be around the game,
yeah.
For sure. I mean, I think that over the years, the hockey itself has burned me a lot, so many times,
yes,
as every hockey player. You know,
sure.
there's different roles you get put in that you want to be in. There's some you don't want to be in. But through it all, I've never lost the love for the actual game. And so I love it. I love watching women's hockey.
Yeah.
I mean, I sat on the bench watching a lot of women's hockey over the years, and I still enjoy it. So would I want to be around it? Of course. I love it. Would I? Can I even imagine what the future would hold within that environment? I don't know, you know, and so who knows, maybe.
And that's yeah. totally fair, because I mean, who knows what the new iteration is going to look like?
Exactly.
Who knows what's going to come
down? And I don't
want
to speculate
yeah.
so that I am not caught on the wrong side of it. That's the tough thing.
We're not going to hold you to whatever you
yeah.
say, so don't worry.
Yeah, I want to, you know, you want to support both sides, and you want to, and there shouldn't even be sides. That's
yeah.
the thing that I think makes
yeah.
me the not the maddest. I'm not mad about anything, but I wish that it
was... You're not
was
mad, just disappointed?
Disappointed is a better... I wish there was more inclusiveness so that... We didn't feel like we were having to take sides.
Right.
I want to support everybody. I want women's hockey to grow and not have to be split factions and the have and the have-nots and all of that kind of stuff.
Speaking about taking sides, we got a few minutes left in the hour here, so we'll try and keep this.
It's not a two-hour podcast.
No, we can make it longer if we have to. But speaking about taking sides, there was rumors of another league expanding in Toronto this year. No contact with you about anything?
Yeah, so they reached out. So Danny Ryland and Haley Moore reached out to the GMs the day after it happened.
Okay.
We had a great conversation with them. And for all of the, things that some players will say about Danny Ryland, I think I respect her as an entrepreneur and she wants the best for her league.
Sure.
So I wanted to hear her out. I have some players on my team that had played in that environment. You hear the pros and the cons, but ultimately I want to hear from the source.
Right.
And so they reached out to us indicating that their board of directors had approved an expansion plan. And were we willing to jump on board with that? And the three GMs unanimously said to them that our players are in Finland and we want to wait for them to get back.
Yeah.
So we want to consult with our team and know what they want to do before we can commit to anything. And, the NWHL was just one person that reached out to us.
Right.
We had more than a dozen people reach out to us with ideas, with plans, with all this. And so what we as GMs wanted to be was really the caretakers of the information. And so we tried to gather in that first month. I mean, that was probably the busiest that we've ever been as GMs because we tried to gather as much information and pool it together and stay on board together. So that includes the GM from China and from Worcester, as well as the ones in Canada. And so we had gathered all this information, created all these spreadsheets, all these documents. And the toughest thing, I think, when the players got back was that they were going in a different direction. And we just wanted them to hear the information. We didn't have any say
or any
preconceived notions of the direction they wanted to go in. We just wanted them to sit across the table from these people and hear them out. And they had already been given guidance to go in a different direction. And I think that was hard because if we had just known that a month prior, we wouldn't have done all that work. And we wouldn't have been that caretaker of information to know some of the amazing concepts that were out there that never got heard.
Okay, so I don't disagree with your idea on that because I think everybody should,
You just listen.
Don't decline an offer before you hear it, sort of.
Well, and I said to them, if you don't want to go in this direction, you at least then know how to run a league.
Right. But that's
you know what you don't want to do.
Yeah, I think that's where if they are looking to do that or looking to be, sort of their own custodians of their own league or at least a future league, this might give you an idea as to that's a good idea, that's not such a good idea.
Totally.
So,
to me, secrecy or lack of information is, the worst way to move forward. I think gathering as much information as you can and then processing it and making decisions. And if you want to go in your own direction, don't rewrite a whole business plan when these are all right there in front of you.
Yeah.
And that was difficult.
I know you can't disclose anything because everybody's got their own disclosure agreements. And
I have friends.
I don't want you to get in trouble with anybody. But was there one idea? You don't have to name whose or what.
Yeah.
Who brought it forward? Was there one idea that you were like, oh my God, that's incredible. We should have done that. We should have been doing that since the beginning.
There was one person that came forward.
Oh, okay.
And with a lot of money. Could have been heard. And I can't disclose that person.
No,
I guess there was three business plans that included the NHL.
Okay.
And that's what I wanted to say to the players. If you want to be under the NHL umbrella, these people have had those conversations with people in the NHL.
Yeah.
So if that's your ultimate goal, just listen here because they've created that for you.
Well, at least if you got three, cherry-pick the best ideas from all three of them and put them into one.
It's not like they're proprietary information.
Yeah, yeah.
They're spreadsheets.
Yeah.
And they're people with money. And
all things needed.
So those people, We still have all that information within women's hockey. We still have all that knowledge. You still have all that support. I hope that they want to be involved in the next iteration.
Yeah.
Because some really great people that had never been involved in women's hockey before came out of the woodwork that wanted to see women's hockey progress and wanted to see, didn't realize where it was at. And so I hope that those people want to be involved in the next iteration and hopefully can encourage them to continue to have faith and to continue to be patient while the players kind of figure it out for now and then come in and help, whether it's under the NHL umbrella or not, or whatever direction they want to go in. I think that having good people involved is can always be a bonus.
Sure. Yeah, no, I'm under that impression that good people always seem to rise to the top. And
yeah,
I know you probably don't get enough of it. I know you probably have never asked for it. I know you certainly aren't seeking it. But can I say thank you to you for for at least making it a reality for 12 years?
That's nice.
Well, but I mean, there isn't. I mean, again, you guys laid the bricks, and everybody else walked on them. So I mean, I don't think enough people have said thank you.
Well, and there people should have been very nice and very generous, and I think that it's not just me; it's a lot of people.
No, I know.
But that's that's the one thing that I hope goes down in history is that for 11 years it did work.
Yeah.
And I think that that's part of the hurt and anger is that. To say it's not financially viable is not truthful. And to say that a league that operates on $3.7 million is can't work is not truthful.
Right.
Is it to say that you want more and you want a proper salary? That's a different conversation.
Yes.
So I think there's sort of three things that happen. One is, why did the league fail? That's a whole conversation in and of itself.
That's an hour long.
The second is, what happens in this year?
Yeah.
And what do we do for the players? And what will the players do? That's the second conversation. And the third conversation is, what does the future hold? And what will the final league look like? And those are three very different things that I think get very muddied together, which I don't want to get muddied together because those are three separate conversations.
Yeah.
And so I think the hurt and anger comes from what happened to the CWHL, the lack of transition.
Yeah.
The fact that it was just on March 31st, there's no more league and there was no thought to the transition.
No.
That it could have stayed within that structure as they worked towards where they wanted to go. That to me is the tough thing, is that I think that that's where I think people need to do a lot of digging and figure out what happened there. I would like to know, because for the years that I sat on the board, it was always open and transparent. And while it wasn't exactly what people wanted, we told people why and why it had to be, and come and help, come and make a difference, come and make it better, come and do things better. Within that, this last year, things were just so different. And I don't know any of the board members. I don't know what happened within that. I mean, I know Vicky Sanahara is a good friend of mine.
Yes, and, yeah.
It has changed the conversation because my friends, like Vicky and Jaina, I can't have normal conversation with them because they know so much more that you just can't ask about. And things are in camera that they can't disclose. And that's hard, and that's something that just time that gets over.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You know, you spend more time with these great people, and you start to have other shared experiences that don't include this, and
right. You
get over that, and that's fine. And it's not like they did anything bad or wrong. And ultimately, I want to believe in them. I want to believe in them that they made some really good choices and did this for the right reasons, even though I don't know what those are. So that is the conversation that I want the CWHL to not be remembered for this past year,
right. But
for the 11 years that we were successful building to where we got, I think was incredible. And so thank you for acknowledging my small part in that little bit of history. But ultimately, I think I am just one of many cogs along the way.
Sure. But I mean, again, it takes a vision to be a visionary, right? And I mean, you guys, the group of you that started up the second after the NWA, the original NWHL collapsed, you guys were at least provided that for 11 seasons to a lot of women. So, mm-hmm. I mean, again.
Well, thank you.
So, thank you. I'm going to say it right now because we're over time, but we'll figure this out in a future time in terms of being over an hour. But promote. I know you got another school coming up. Promote away, and we'll play it for you, so you can.
Well, we just we run two schools a summer, and they promote themselves.
Sure.
So
yeah.
It is. I'm very fortunate to get to every time we come to this hockey school. We have instructors that have been here for 20 years, and we have campers that have been coming for over a decade. It's a pretty special environment, and the one in Oakville.
You have campers that become instructors.
I know,
as well,
exactly.
So.
The one in Oakville is all girls goaltenders, where we encourage adults to come out as well.
Yeah.
I think the neatest thing for me about these camps is that I get to surround myself with amazing other instructors that I get to learn from too. So that's a lot of fun. So. There's not much promotion that has to be done about that. And it's onward and upward into the speaking world.
Sure,
and
yeah.
Continue to do things that I love. And hopefully you can find something that in some small way can replace the camaraderie-ship and the camaraderie that I experienced within the Furies organization. And that'll be the toughest thing is,
sure.
I'll miss my friends. I'll miss the people that I got to hang out with every day. And the incredible people that surrounded us with the Toronto Furies.
I'll say that coming here, and again, shocked at the number, but 21st year for you guys running this camp here.
Yeah.
I'll say that every time I come here, everybody leaves with smiles on their faces. So you guys must be doing something right.
Right. We just want it to be fun at the end of the day. I mean, it's about development, but ultimately we want them to still be playing hockey when they're 50. So if we've done that, then we're a success.
And it seems like a lot of people here are in that, at least on that path, because, I mean, yeah, like I said, there's smiles, there's happiness, there's laughter. It seems like people are making friends, even if they don't know each other.
Yeah.
But kids are talking to each other. Parents are talking to each other. It's a fantastic camp. If you can get your daughter enrolled next year, obviously we'll have to wait till next July for that to happen.
22nd year, yeah.
Yeah, we'll get everybody back in for that, though. Sammy, I can't say thanks enough for doing this and sitting down and talking with us.
Well, thank you for being one of the ultimate fans of women's hockey. And, I commend everybody that has sort of stuck with women's hockey through all of this. And, I hope the next iteration isn't as challenging for you guys within the media side, that you guys can have a pleasurable experience, that you just get to battle against each other for your teams and for your players. And you don't have to struggle with any of the other stuff that goes on.
You know what? I mean, I'll be honest. I thought that, for the most part, you guys were fairly open. GMs and teams were great to deal with. It was some of the league stuff that we always had problems with. But, no, I mean, I never had a problem. And, I mean, you're going to probably have a lifelong fan anyway in me, only because, again, we do all the stuff for the university and we do all the stuff on the side with all the smaller tournaments that are around, or at least some of the bigger smaller tournaments anyway, that are here in Winnipeg. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to whatever the next iteration brings,
yeah.
I'm already looking forward to pledging my allegiance to at least one team, if not more, and we'll see how things go.
Then we got the narwhal, right?
Exactly. And we're okay after
that. I love it, yeah.
Sammy, can't thank you enough for doing this. Again, we always appreciate your time in the summer here, and I'll let you get back to camp now because it looks like it's pretty much open season time out there on the ice.
It is a little bit of sledge hockey day.
Yeah.
Love it.
And Billy's out there giving everybody tips, which is awesome. So can't thank you enough. Door's always open. If you're ever back in town over Christmas, now that you've got some family time, don't feel like you have to be a stranger. Stop by and we'll get you back
on. When Susie gets inducted to the Hall of Fame.
We want to talk to Susie as well. I know she wasn't here today, but we'll bring her on. We'll talk to her about that as well.
Sounds good. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Sammy.
Take care.
So there is Sammy Jo Small. Another great interview from her. Lots to talk about there for sure. Definitely discuss with yourself. We're going to probably bring her up in the next couple of weeks and talk about everything she talked about. Got to get out of here, though. We've already bled into Free Range Radio time, so we'll leave you with Matthew Good. Hello, Time Bomb, here on The Hockey Show. Again, tune in or click over to Hockey Blog in Canada if you want to hear the full one-hour interview with Sammy. There's a lot more stuff she talks about in that interview that we had to edit out just for time constraints. But let's get out of here. I'll leave this for Skippy as he gets himself set up here. Here is Matthew Good on The Hockey Show, 101.5 UMFM.